Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Match Ball.
It's September the 3rd, 1991, here on the Match Ball 30, as we chart our progress through the 1991-1992 season, game by game, 30 years on. Arsenal in town then tonight, and another big crowd, just shy of 30,000 inside Elland Road. And the lineups for this one then, Leeds United with Lukic in goal, Mel Sterland, Tony DiRigo, David Batty, McClellan still in the side, undroppable as you said, against Man United last time out, Michael. Chris White, Gordon Strachan, Rod Wallace, Lee Chapman, McAllister Speed with Hodge and Weatherall on the bench. What do you make of this Arsenal lineup? Because they're bloody strong right now. The reigning champions, no less. David Seaman, Andy Linnigan returning to Elland Road, David O'Leary, Lee Dixon, Nigel Winterburn, Tony Adams, Paul Davies, Michael Thomas, Alan Smith, Kevin Campbell, Paul Merson, and Roe Castle on the bench, sat alongside manager George Graham.
It's about time we played Arsenal again.
It's been a while.
Yes.
It's good to see that people have turned up for it, because I feel like there was a definite Arsenal fatigue setting in last season, but I guess a fresh start and everyone's come back to Elland Road.
They've come to see Arsenal's kit, this away kit that everyone's talking about. The old bruised banana, is that the right way to describe it? It's quite hard to make out the red numbers on the back of it, I do feel, but it's a jazzy number.
I quite like it, I have to say.
Yeah?
I don't know what you think.
I mean, how's it going to date? I mean, 30 years' time, you're going to look at that and think, what's that abomination?
I think it'll be a huge hit in 30 years' time. But, I mean, something's happened to Arsenal over the summer. They don't seem as good, do they? Letting in goals all over the place.
How have they gone so far then?
I mean, drawing at home to QPR, that shouldn't have been. Wouldn't have happened last year. Losing to Everton, losing to Villa. I mean, beating Luton, but that barely counts. And then beating Man City. They seemed invincible last season, whereas this year, not so much.
They're not good defeats either, where it's 3-1 away to both Everton and Aston Villa. That's a fairly comprehensive tonking when it comes to Arsenal.
Six goals conceded in two games, this Arsenal side.
How many did they concede in the whole of last season? It was about three goals, wasn't it, or something absurd?
Pretty much. I think that might contribute to the big crowd, is there's that combination of Leeds getting better with DiRigo and Rod Wallace signing, and then Arsenal, the champions. You feel like this is a game when we can have a swing at them.
Yeah, we've closed the gap, it feels like, doesn't it? We'll get to the game in a second. First of all, let's hear from Strack. What's he had to say?
Up until a couple of weeks ago, the Gunners were widely accepted to be the best team in the land, and the team who have just won the title does not suddenly become a bad team overnight. George Graham will not be too worried. He's won the championship twice in the last three seasons, so that suggests he knows what he's doing.
A little bit of kidology, you think, from Strack. He was always a master of that, wasn't he? Like, it's a compliment, but there's a little dig in there.
Don't become a bad team overnight, or do they? Maybe they're shit.
They don't look shit in the first half.
No. there's just so much bloody threat in that side. It's terrifying, like, having the pace of, like, Merson running at his players like that always causing us trouble.
I mean, as good as Paul Merson is in this game, their goals basically come from the fact Nigel Winterburn keeps kicking the ball wrong and they score from it. Because I'm not sure even their opening goal is... He's trying to cross it, but I'm not sure he's trying to pick out Smith on the edge of the box.
He pulls it, doesn't he? Like, he pulls it from under his foot and it kind of just drags its way to the edge of the area. We're not giving him any credit for this.
No, and the second assist that he gets, he's definitely trying to shoot and completely mishits it so pitifully that it actually turns out to be a fairly nice pace on the pass.
I mean, the first one, I mean, you've got to give credit to Smith in terms of his finishing. Both were good finishes, which you'd expect from a striker.
I'm going to dispute the second.
Go on then, talk us through it. Give us your opinion. Why are they shit?
Winterburn's just tried to... Well, the first one's fine, but the second one, Winterburn's just hit the ball across the box and Smith just redirects it. It doesn't do anything, just hits him.
I mean, he does redirect it quite well and accurately into the corner where John Lukic isn't.
It's luck.
Okay.
I'd say if he'd stood still, it wouldn't have flown into the corner.
That's all he did. I mean, I didn't see him doing anything. He just stands still, the ball hits him. Goal. I'm not having it.
So, two goals down inside 48 minutes. First one came on 20. Second one just after half time. Ah.
And the silence that sort of descends on Ellen Drogue, you're thinking...
It's a long way back, isn't it?
You're thinking second half, we'll get back into this and it'll all be fine. And then that's the way it begins with an absolute freak goal being scored by a freak of crisps from Leicester. And but then after that...
Well, we all know 2-0 is a dangerous scoreline, don't we?
Yeah, and also scoring goals seems to be a bit of a dangerous thing to do when this referee is around.
I spent a lot of my time looking at his legs during this penalty. Short shorts.
The referee's legs.
Yeah, he's got very short shorts on. It's still the era of short shorts where they're pottering around like little schoolmasters, you know, ticking people off. Definitely a penalty, or should the goal have stood? Because there's a cross that comes in, it's a corner, and there's the flick on. I mean, what a flick on it is. Speed at the near post, isn't it? With just a... Well, if you were going to show somebody the textbook flick on at the near post, it's that, isn't it? It just puts it into the corridor of uncertainty 6 yards out.
Yeah, by the time McAllister has headed it in, it does seem the referee has already blown.
Could you make out what for? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean,
well, there's two whys, isn't there?
Is it a handball?
I'm not sure.
Is it a push?
I don't think anybody inside Elland Road was really sure.
You can very clearly see McAllister, I think, says, for fuck's sake, yeah. I think, as it cuts to him.
Well, whilst throwing his hands down towards the ground in exasperation.
Because the ball comes to the edge of the box and McAllister heads it over a crowded penalty area into the roof of the net, and it's brilliant. And then he's celebrating and realises that the referee is saying no goal, but McAllister's reaction isn't no goal because he's given us a penalty. It's no goal. Why has the referee given something to them? No Leeds player is running around saying Lee Dixon's just done a handball. And then it's only then it becomes apparent that he's given us a penalty and disallowed the goal. And then the player's like, well, why can't we just have the goal?
Yeah, there's a frustration attached to that, isn't there? Play the advantage, man.
Well, just wait a moment. Don't blow your whistle the second something happens. It's just wait and see how that bit of play ends up, because, you know, Strachan could have missed the penalty. McAllister, I think, wanted to take it at one point because he's just scored the goal and he wants the goal, and that will not go down on his stats at the end of the season. So it's all just a mess. And if the referee had just given it 10 seconds to see where the ball ends up.
I mean, 10 seconds is a lot of time. Maybe even 5 seconds would have been enough. Three? It's a fast-moving game. 10 seconds, it could have been up the other end of the pitch. But I know what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you would like to have seen a moment's advantage played, wouldn't you, just to see what happened? Because it was a brilliant, brilliant header. That one would have made it to the end-of-season compilation, but it wasn't to be. That said, this penalty... definitely going to make the end of season compilation because it's brilliant.
I was going to say all's well that ends well, really, with the penalty, because you get to see a little cheeky Scotsman doing cheeky chip.
This is it's a dick swinging move, isn't it? The Panenka, and a brilliant Panenka it is, just, and he's just totally nonchalant about it. The whole thing, the execution, the celebration, Strachan loves it.
Part of me kind of wishes it was saved just so we could have seen the bench's reaction to it, because I'm not sure that Wilco would have been particularly pleased if David Seaman had just stood still and caught this one. But he didn't, so that's fine.
But that's the point as well. It's David Seaman, England goalkeeper, £1 million goalkeeper, the player that George Graham decided to buy to replace John Lukic. So the whole thing ties together as a massive fuck you from Gordon Strachan. Like, we've got the better goalkeeper, because, and I'm about to prove it, because John would just stand, the big John, as he always calls him, big John would just stand and catch this, but you're going to lie down while I chip the ball over you. I mean, very slowly.
Seaman was nowhere either for the header or for the corner that resulted in that header or for the penalty. So triple whammy to David Seaman.
He's running around all over the place and don't know what the fuck he's doing. It just makes it even more of an outrage that John Lukic, who is very, very good in this game, is not in the England squad. Batty and Dorigo have made it in, but no sign of him. And as we're going for the win, I think that penalty as well, it wasn't just the fuck you to Seaman. It kind of was a bit of a message to the rest of the team of like...
It ignited things, didn't it?
Yeah, and so the next 25 minutes is Leeds constantly on the attack, but not forgetting how good Arsenal are, meant Lukic had to keep us safe at the other end. There was a shot from David Rowcastle that he did very well to save, and lots of kind of breakaways that he was stopping.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Are we blaming Seaman for the equaliser as well?
I think it's a great goal from Leeds.
He's never anywhere near it, though, is it, Seaman? It's admittedly a very good header back across goal. It's batty crossing from somewhere near the halfway line, isn't it? It's almost like a big diagonal.
It's a big archetypal sort of Leeds goal, isn't it? It's the lofted cross from left-hand side by the low fields over towards the south stand.
So Seaman has moved across to get in the right position for that, but then there's a very good header back across goal, which leaves him... He's always scrambling after it by that point, isn't he?
And Chapman... with the silky finish, as he always did.
Second goal of the season. He only needed one to get going. And, you know, he puts the ball in the net.
Not like this Wallace prick.
Well, yeah, he hasn't scored yet. And the change in our style of play with Wallace is kind of interesting because he's generally not in the box where you'd expect Kyle Schutt or Bobby Davison to be. He's sort of zipping around to the wings and it makes us a bit more fluid, or, you know,
are you telling me that Howard Wilkinson's side is becoming dynamic, Moscow? Is this what it is? Next thing you're going to be telling me, Chapman will be doing overhead kicks as well.
Well, he tried one. So that we equalised in the 86th minute, and then Chapman tried an overhead kick with a few minutes left, and Wallace shot over when he needs to be shooting into the net. So we had the chances, but yeah, it's interesting to see how it's working out with Chapman kind of being more of a target man on his own, and Wallace doing a bit of what Strachan's always been doing, of just running around like almost a free roll.
He's pulling defenders all over the place, isn't he? And it is a marked difference. And there was a marked difference in the response from the crowd as well to get that late equaliser compared to when we went 2-0 down. And there's that kind of, oh shit, we've blown this one.
Just get Kyle Schutt back in the team. That's all I'm saying. I know he's still recovering from his wedding-based injuries at the moment, isn't he?
Yes, he's got a attack to the wedding in the summer and he's still working his way back to fitness, which is... Well, the stranger injuries we've had to suffer. But yeah, you know, it's always better to score a late equaliser than concede one. And I sound like Howard Wilkinson myself now. And better to get a draw than a defeat. But we've still not, that's seven games against Arsenal and we've still not beaten them. But they are one of the, you know, they are the champions. And even if they're coming back into form by beating Manchester City last time, we can't really complain too much about points against Scum and Arsenal within a few days of each other.
Yeah, and Wilkinson was pragmatic about it in the post-match.
Well, it was almost ebullient. The best we've played against Arsenal and probably the best we've played for a long time, said Wilkinson. It showed you can never write my team off. But he wasn't happy about the defending.
Well, this is what I was on about. Maybe we'll learn a harsh lesson.
Yeah, we'll either go on from here making generous errors or, having dropped 2 points, we will gain a lot from the performance. Yeah, and then he goes on at some length about the defensive blunders. This is quite a classic Wilkinson. You could argue that having made 2 defensive blunders, or having been as soft as we were on 2 occasions, and having been punished for it, some people might say we were lucky to get away with it, but we played some tremendous stuff. So, yeah, he's not happy about the defending, but happy about the overall performance. And then I don't know if we've got the audio of George Graham realising that he sold the wrong goalkeeper and signed the wrong one. But then he's a little bit salty about our style of play as well.
I mean, what I will say about this audio we have of George Graham, he might sound like he's from a similar part of Scotland to Gordon Strachan.
It's much the same, isn't it?
And Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm just looking where he is from. He's from Lanarkshire.
Well, just while you play that clip, should we listen to what was on the radio at the time in the car parks of Elland Road? It was Brian Adams, wasn't it? Still number one. Christ.
Lukic kept leads in the game. He made four or possibly five outstanding saves, several of them in one-to-one situations. And that for a home goalkeeper is very unusual, especially at Elland Road. Apart from the long ball, Leeds did not cause us any problems until they got the penalty. That gave them more heart and they put us under a lot of pressure and it paid off for them.
And the YEP tended to agree. He got man of the match. Mentioned how the YEP do their layouts a couple of games ago. And there's a big box by the side of the report. And I think they've got to fill it with text. So they've put the words, John Lukic, 8 out of 10 in all words. No numbers there. And there's a nice little picture of John there in case you'd forgotten what he looked like. But it was a great performance and at a good point in the end, I think.
Dropping off the pace, though.
Well, a little bit. Well, let's have a look at the other midweek results from these games. Everton won all against Norwich. Notts County winning again against Sheffield Wednesday. Oldham 2, Coventry 1. Sheffield United 0, Chelsea 1. The Vinnie Jones derby there. Wimbledon 1, Man United 2. That's a bit annoying, isn't it, that they went there and won. And then the Wednesday night games, Villa 0, Crystal Palace 1, Luton 2, Southampton 1. So they've finally won. Man City 2-1 against Forest, and then QPR and West Ham London derby 0-0 leaves the table with Sheffield United propping it up now, and QPR, both of those two sides still to win a game, no wins out of six, which is a little unfortunate. Sheffield United bottom on 2 points, QPR have got three. At the other end, Man City are second to Man United, 14 and 13 points respectively. We are in sixth
with a game in hand,
which would take us up towards what, third if we won it.
It's worth pointing out this Notts County outfit that Neil Warnock has brought up are fifth with a negative goal difference. That tells us that the only team in the top 10, well, 10th Arsenal, have a goal difference of minus one. And then you have to go down to 16 to have anybody else, any other team with a negative goal difference. Notts County minus two, and yet they're above us in the table. With they've played an extra game, but they won it.
Yeah, the games played are all a little bit ragged because of Palace's building work.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Lots of teams have played six. A few have played only five, and then you've got Palace and Spurs who've only played four. So it hasn't quite settled down yet, the league, because of Palace's incompetent builders, but it will start to take shape over the coming weeks, I'm sure.
And we're not badly off. Got through those big games against Scum and Arsenal, but then we got another one coming up at the weekend. Manchester City in second place. 1-4, drawn 1, lost 1. So we've got to get through them. And then
Chelsea are doing well as well. They're third at the minute. So we've got them the week after.
It's fairly relentless.
And that's at Stamford Bridge. Just looking down the fixtures for September. Coventry, Liverpool lined up. Got to go to Norwich, which is always a long way. And then finally, will we ever get to play somebody down at Crystal Palace? Well, we'll see when the fixtures get rearranged. But it's a busy old month. There's a lot going on. League Cup in between times as well.
A glamour tie.
Well, hopefully the squad will stand up to the rigours of a cup run better than it managed to do last season. But it's back to the league, back to Elland Road, and we will play Manchester City on September the 7th. We'll speak to you then.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.